Today we hear live music and talk with Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, who have collaborated on The River in Reverse, the first album to be recorded in New Orleans after Katrina's floodwaters receded. Elvis Costello is arguably the most far-reaching of his 70s early punk contemporaries, having recorded with Burt Bacharach, made classical albums, and much more. Toussaint is the New Orleans songwriter and producer. He's emerged since Katrina as a spokesman for the city. I began by asking Alan Toussaint what his initial thoughts were on collaborating with Elvis Costello.
It was absolutely wonderful. For one thing, there's no one particular file cabinet to stick Elvis in, that's for sure. And also, the music is, and the whole art of the art is so dear to Elvis. Till anyone would be a pleasure for them to get to work with Elvis, I'm sure. And he has collected so much material that's readily accessible. Like, he calls out tunes to me sometimes that I figure no one knew but me and the artist that did them 1,000 years ago. And it might be a C-side or a D-side, not only a B-side. So that's just one example of how dearly Elvis take the music to heart. So it's indeed a pleasure.
Well, one of the songs on here that I'm hoping you can do for us is, Alan, one of yours, Who's Gonna Help a Brother. And what's the origin of that one?
Who's Gonna Help Brother Get Further? Well, let me say it as it was said to be. Who's going to help brother get further rather than brother get further? However, it was written for Lee Darcy. I spent loads of time with Lee Darcy. We hung out together, and Lee Darcy inspired many, many songs. And sometimes for no reason at all, just a song comes that says certain things. And sometimes, of course, with reason, because of something I saw in the corner one day while driving past and all. But anyway, it was written for Lee Darcy. However, Elvis heard it being totally applicable to these days, and I must say, it gave it a new life and purpose that I never imagined, and I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Well, you can do a version of that for us now?
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Who's Gonna Help a Brother? Our guests, Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint.
Everything's all right from the outside looking in. Everything's uptight, but deep down inside, we're covering up the pain. It's an old thing, it's a soul thing, but it's a real thing. Pray tell what's gonna happen to brother, who's gonna help him get further for one another. That the truth, one another, hey, yeah, you're right. There's old dude standing on a corner waiting for a fox to pass. The only thing he's got to go by is this is where he saw less. And there's old John, $2 in his pocket, talking loud and thinks he's rich. And looked a little fool, too cool to go to school. Get a job in 2 days, he quits. Pray tell what's gonna happen to brother, who's gonna help him get further, one another. That the truth, one another. Yeah, you're right. Papa's already gone, gone. Working two jobs for half of what is worth it. You know that it's wrong. What happened to the Liberty Bell? I heard so much about. Did it really ding dong, ding dong? It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. Pray tell what's gonna happen to brother, who's gonna help him get further.
the truth to one another. And again, the pretend what's gonna happen to brother, who's gonna help him get further to one another. Is that the truth to one another? It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. Did it really ding dong? Ding dong. It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long.
Who's going to help a brother with Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint playing live for us today? This music, some as we're hearing, some older Toussaint tunes, some new things they've written together, some just fabulous versions are in River in Reverse, which and is in many ways a fabulous collaboration, certainly, but also is, and it's not like there's a Guinness World Record on this, but it seems to have been the first album recorded back in New Orleans post-Katrina. Where did you actually go in the city to work, and what was it like there?
Well, when we first started writing, we were planning the recording sessions. It was by no means certain that you could go to the city. The city was effectively closed to visitors in the sense that all available hotel rooms were taken by people who were displaced and who lost residences, or people who were engaged in the recovery effort or insurance assessors or anybody that had business there that was to do with the circumstances in the city. That was while we were writing. By the time we came to book the studio time, we needed to make a start, and we did indeed make a start in Hollywood for the first week, and then we traveled for the second week of recording to Piety Street Studios in the appropriately named Bywater district, which of course didn't take any water, being as in slightly higher ground. As you know, nowhere is particularly high ground in New Orleans, but it was close enough to be a short drive. And on the first morning that I was in New Orleans, I came out of the hotel, walked onto Canal Street, which anybody who knows New Orleans will know as a teeming thoroughfare, to find six people on the street and a couple of cars driving by, walked into the French Quarter to find many businesses shuttered and unable to open up as yet, probably for lack of people to come work there. Local businesses were the only ones open. More disappointingly, chain stores for the big corporations were all shuttered, and that seemed to be a little contradictory, that the people with the most resources for opening up again and offering employment were slowest to do that. But as we'd seen from the federal government response, perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised with the large organizations not really moving very quickly and helping the city. I took a detour on the way to the studio, asked the driver who was taking me to the studio if he didn't mind and if he didn't think it was an intrusion to drive. He pointed in the direction of the worst of the devastation, and we drove over the bridge into the 9th and Lower 9th Ward, past Fats Domino's house, and saw the rise of the waterline against the houses up to the eaves and then over the eaves and down towards Levy. The houses, as you know, you've seen the television pictures, but it can't really prepare you for seeing it with your own eyes at eye level. And seeing houses knocked off their foundations, houses that had filled with water and become distended and broken, teddy bears hanging in trees, refrigerators on top of, the top of the roof of a house, or a barge sitting on top of two houses. It's kind of like a very gruesome, surrealistic painting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Alan, at that point, had you already been back to the city to see your plays?
Yes, I had been back, and everything Elvis says is just as it really is, really was. And I must say, it's very slow process, but I'm glad to say that I've been back many times, and every time I see progress, it's looking good, very slowly, even a little too slow by just about anyone's standard. But I like movement, and we're moving towards the future, and I'm excited about it.
Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint have put their love of the city together and their love of each other's music on this new album called River in Reverse. Can you do a version of Freedom for the Stallion?
Absolutely.
for the stallion, freedom for the mare and her colt, freedom for the baby child who has not grown old enough to vote. Lord have mercy, what you're gonna do about the people who are praying to you? They got men making laws to destroy other men. They made money, God, it's a dark of sin. Oh Lord, you got to help them find a way. Ships sailing, slaves all chained and bound, heading for a brand new land that some cat said he upped and found. Lord have mercy, what you gonna do about the people who are praying to you? They got men making laws to destroy other men. They made money, God, it's a sin. Oh Lord, they got to help them find a way. Some sing a sad song, some got to moan the blues, trying to make the best of a hole that the man to choose. Lord have mercy, how you gonna be with people like John and me? They got men building fences to keep other men out, ignoring if he whispers and kill him if he shouts. Oh Lord, you got to help us find a way. Oh Lord, you got to help us find a way. To help us find a way.
A version of Alan Toussaint's tune Freedom for the Stallion from our guests Alan Toussaint and Elvis Costello. More of our interview coming up as we find out about Elvis Costello's first trip to New Orleans in the 70s, which may have been a foreshadowing of Katrina. That's when we return to the World Cafe. Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint are my guests today, talking about The River in Reverse, their new collaboration, and the first album recorded in New Orleans post-Katrina. I ask Elvis about his long-standing relationship with the Crescent City and about his first time there.
I visited New Orleans on my first tour of America. It was about my fourth date, I think, in the United States, was in New Orleans. I think we played San Francisco, Los Angeles, and then New Orleans. And that was the kind of tour schedule that we kept in those days. We played a club called Jed's. And there's a certain horrible irony to this story, but the water main in the building burst. And the audience stood in maybe a foot of water all the way through the show. There was water almost up to the edge of the stage. And, you know, we didn't have a very big crowd, as you might imagine, your first time in town. And there were some hardy people. And, you know, perhaps this should have told me something about the resilience of New Orleans people, that those that wanted, you know, the few that did want to hear us stood in a good foot or two of water, a foot of water, I would say. So there's a horrible irony to that. I'm almost ashamed to tell you that story because anybody thinks I'm making fun, but it's absolutely true.
Now, what about the music? I mean, you're a well-documented fan of pop and R&B, and was New Orleans a particular area that you were always interested in?
Well, there's the long time frame answer to that, which is that I really do believe that that popular music wouldn't be exactly as it is today if it hadn't been for New Orleans music, and specifically Louis Armstrong. The things that you might say he invented, I don't think he invented them like a scientist in a laboratory, rather just instinctively, and developed out of all the threads and all the overlay of different cultures in New Orleans. If you listen to his recordings and all the liberty that gave almost everybody, even people that don't even know they owe a debt to him, people that don't even understand anything about him or have never heard him play a note are indebted to the liberties that he and other New Orleans musicians gave to the expression of rhythm. That's the long answer. The short answer is that as a kid growing up, I didn't know any of that. I did hear Fortune Teller played by The Searchers, a Merseybeat group, and I had no idea that it was written by Alan Toussaint at the time because I didn't check the writing credits on records in those days. I assumed the artist was responsible for the song solely. But you mentioned Lee Dorsey earlier on, and when I heard Lee Dorsey records on the radio in England, I got very curious about where they came from because they sounded so distinct from everything else. And little by little, I found out that it was Alan who was responsible for that and all these other songs. And I still find myself discovering songs and pieces of music that Alan wrote. I mean, it's an extraordinary catalog.
You know, talking about all the roots of all this music, Alan, I'd love you to give the story of a track that hopefully you can play live for us, Ascension Day. How did this come about?
Ascension Day. Oh, that's quite a gem, I must say, what it turned out to be. Of course, Professor Long has, to say the least, is my mentor. I tried to emulate Professor Long had long as I can remember. And I take him very seriously. And I've taken several of his pieces and played them in another mode. And especially that one, in fact, that was the leader of the pack of Professor Longhair tunes that I've begun to convert. But anyway, I had been playing it in a minor key just for my own benefit at home. Never intended to take it any further than that. I just was in love with that mode of Professor Longhair, like all the rest. And Joe Henry heard me playing that once and asked me would I record that, and I said yes, of course. It's something that I play anyway. And I'm glad to say that it was documented then. However, Elvis heard it and thought he could add lyrics to it, and I had never thought of it in such a way. Now, I thought lyrics might be added to it and maybe someday, but not anywhere near how Elvis heard it. And Elvis is such a master at his perception of things.
Here's a live version of that. This is Ascension Day from our guests Alan Toussaint and Elvis Costello.
Not a soul was stirring, not a bird was singing, at least not within my hearing. I was 5 minutes past caring, standing in a row just staring. Thought I heard somebody pleading, thought I heard someone apologize. Some fell down weeping, others shook their fists up at the sky, and those who were left seemed to be wearing disguises. Seems to be hesitating. He said, let her go, let her go. God bless her. She hasn't been gone long enough for me to miss her. Except for every minute of every hour, every day when I wish I could possess her. For today, I'm
was hanging on the tree like when it started. But I know they will return like they've never gone away. Condescension Day.
Ascension Day, that is such a wonderful reworking of Tipitina with new lyrics that you will find on River in Reverse, the new album from our guest today, Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, who are joining us today. Tell me about Sharpest Thorn. Who's going to field that one?
Well, Sharpest Thorn, Ascension Day was the first song that broke open the process of writing together. We were involved in this intense week of work, playing either together or on the same bill at a number of benefit shows that were put together by the music community in response to the Katrina disaster. And in between those, Alan was also still performing his solo concerts at Joe's Pub. And at one of these, I thought of the idea of an Alan Toussaint songbook being a kind of record that should be made, and maybe I should be involved in the making of it or somehow, and the idea was forming in my head. And by the end of the week, I had begun to really sort of talk about it with Alan. Once I had written a song myself that seemed to belong with that idea, it was obvious that we should extend it to try and write some songs together. But I have to be honest, that the first time we sat down together at the piano, it was as if the piano was made of electricity and neither one of us wanted to touch it first. I suppose it was a little bit too much courtesy. And Ascension Day, the piece that we played a little while ago for you, was the first marriage of an idea of Alan's in music and some words of mine, even though it had its origins in this transcription of Professor Longhair's Tipitina. Once we went through that door, it seemed more possible for us to write any kind of way of writing, like some words and music, combining our ideas on lyrics, combining our ideas in music. Sometimes finding four hands on the piano, working through the music bar by bar, and I'm really glad of that because we had every single song that we've written together has a different formula for composition. Sharpest Thorn is unusual in that it's predominantly my music, but we wrote the words together. It's really a story about pride and some eventual humbling wisdom that befalls a partygoer, a man who goes out dressed to in his finery to some New Year's Eve, Mardi Gras, you choose a celebration, and comes back with confetti in his hair and his pockets picked and a little bit more realization. I don't know where the story came from, but we sort of pieced it together from a conversation. This is the Sharpest Thorn.
I wore my finest suit of clothes, the sharpest thorn defending the rose. Hard as a pistol, keen as a blade, the sharpest thorn upon parade. And it's the same most every year. Ghosts are the dear departed of me. We raise our glasses and we cheer. Should old acquaintance disappear, just as we wipe away. God's the prize, the longest lash that covers your eyes, a sight no eyes are meant to know. So good and evil we're having a fight. It lasts much longer than any one night. It may last longer than a life, and turn a mistress into a wife. So confetti who fills the air. My head is aching, my pockets are bare. I didn't recognize the warning that I wasn't born the sharpest thorn. I wasn't born the sharpest thorn. Sharpest thorn. I wasn't born the sharpest thorn.
Sharpest Thorn, Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, our guests. And we've got just a little more time. And I was wondering if you guys could do Nearer to You and maybe tell a little bit, Alan, maybe tell a little bit about that one.
Well, Nearer to You has never been better than it is now. From the very, very first note, when you first hear the first human voice. And I must say, the song is a song that I thought I knew for a long time, having written it. However, it touched me as if it's something that brand new when I hear Elvis' first utterance on it. It really knocks me out. I'm almost embarrassed how much I like it.
I must say, the first things I heard about you two working together was from Joe Henry, who ended up being the producer of the albums. I think we might be remiss if we didn't mention his role in this. And explain that a little bit, because I think some people have trouble understanding, you know, what a producer can do to help two artists in this situation.
Well, Joe, of course, had been in the studio with Alan last year working on a wonderful record called I Believe to My Soul, a collaborative record between Alan, Emma Thomas, Ann Peebles, Mavis Staples and Billy Preston. And it was actually Joe who I called to find out if he had heard anything of Alan's whereabouts and well-being immediately after Katrina hit. As the process of us working together and the week I described came about, I was talking on the phone to Joe, and the idea about the record started to form in my head, and then I shared it with Alan, and he responded, and next thing I knew, we were writing songs, and it seemed natural, really. It was both Alan and I are record producers, that it might be either one of us could have taken the responsibility to produce the record, but as we were going to be the performers, it seemed to be very, very a good sense to have somebody standing outside of that performing role.
Amen.
And Joe was just the man. And Joe and Husky, who took care of the controls of the board, did a marvelous job. We went to work in a studio that they knew very well in Hollywood originally, and then a studio that we had very little experience of. Alan knew, obviously a studio which had just reopened, and the people at Party deserve a lot of credit. They're one of those businesses, and it was important emotionally, I think, for the record to be returned to the place where a lot of this music was written. I thought it was the right thing to do. I was glad and happy to take some of the record company budget and spend it in New Orleans, not only just in the studio but also in the hotels and any other business we could show the way in that way, that the city is not mortally wounded. It's wounded, but And people need to go back there and spend money and help with it. And, you know, obviously things like Mardi Gras and particularly Jazz Fest show the way. And music listeners, of course, who love the city for everything that's given to us, were there in great number at Jazz Fest. This song that we're going to sing was the one that I made a guest appearance with Alan, with Alan's band, and it was a real joy and a great honor, really, to be on the stage with him and at his homecoming in those circumstances. And this song, which is a song of longing, it occurred to me as I was singing it that it had this line in it, I know you say that you'll be home soon. And it had an appropriateness in that moment that I was singing it that had never occurred to me quite in the same force. And that's one of the beautiful things about going back to songs that have been heard in the past. So this is Nearer to You.
In a little more intimate performance than Jazz Fest, this is Nearer to You.
That's right.
Nearer to You, finishing up our session today. Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, a true pleasure. Thank you for River in Reverse. Thank you for all of your work, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you.